Good afternoon, and welcome to the October 24th edition of Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink and Laurent Landis. You can friend us on Facebook, download podcasts of the show at lambdaweekly.com. And our guest today is Dallas City Council member Delia Hasso. Welcome, Delia.
Thank you, David. I'm so glad to be here and so glad to be a part of the show. I'm excited.
Well, we ran into you about a week and a half ago. There was a rally, I guess it was. Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance organized it, and it was a safe schools rally. And that really, in the gay community, has been the big issue with all of the youth suicides, with all of the bullying and the It Gets Better campaign. And so a rally was held. Tell us, you were one of the speakers.
Absolutely.
What was your message?
Yeah, I had the privilege, really, of working with Damian Duckett and Patty Fink to help put this together at Lake Cliff Park, which is in my district. Mm-hmm. My largest concern was certainly the bullying effort, and I think we talked about it at our GLBT task force meeting. And I had also spoken to two or three of our DISD trustees, and have since talked to a couple more. And the bullying ordinance that DISD was looking at the time that we were organizing the rally did not include or call out specifically GLBT, and I think that it should have definitely called out GLBT teens, simply because it's a lot more prevalent in the GLBT community. So the vigil/rally really was to give more importance to that, so DISD could understand where the GLBT community was coming from, but also just as importantly was to vigilize the six or seven teens that had committed suicide for one reason or another in terms of their bullying. Either there was one that committed suicide after a city council meeting, mm-hmm. and so that really concerned me, and I wanted to be sure that I was part of the group that, you know, told our teens it's really not that bad and it does get better. Mm-hmm. So I'm working consistently working with DISD trustees and making sure that it is going to be in the new policy. And I spoke to Dr. Blackburn on Thursday, and he was very confident that they were going to come up with a policy that definitely identified GLBT in the bullying policy.
Lou Blackburn is one of the DISD trustees,
yes.
And he's the one who really has taken this issue and said, no, if that's the group that's been bullied, we need to be specific that we're not going to tolerate this in our
right.
schools. I guess DISD has a policy right now.
They have a policy. It's very general, and I would imagine that even in our charter schools, we've got a policy, but it's very general. I think that, you know, for us to be proactive and definitely put in the GLBT in the policy is a proactive way of making sure that those types of suicides don't happen in our community.
And we know that gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender kids are at risk.
Right.
There's no question they're highly at risk for bullying. And I think that's just a great leadership move for Dr. Blackburn to step up and say, we need to name it. And that's the big thing about bullying is in terms of effectiveness, if you don't name it, the kids don't really understand what they've done wrong
right.
or what they shouldn't do. They say, yeah. Don't treat kids like that. They don't understand what they've done.
Exactly.
Well, but even worse is the teachers don't stop it because to them, it's like, oh, well, we know that you don't call somebody something because of their race. We know you don't call somebody something but, oh, well, you know, he's bringing it on himself because he's acting that way. He's
exactly.
a gay kid.
Right. Yeah, and I do want to mention that when I did speak to Dr. Blackburn about it on Thursday, he did mention that another trustee, Bernadette Nuttall, was really the person that began the policy and talking about calling out GLBT. So, Ms. Nuttall, if you're listening, we do know that you are definitely one of the leaders in this, as well as Dr. Blackburn.
Yeah, well, good. I guess it's not going to pass with one trustee.
Right.
Right. It doesn't work that way in the council either. If you like
Absolutely.
Something and the others don't, you don't get your way, do you?
No.
No. Okay.
You definitely got to do some consensus building.
Right. Well, you know, speaking of the It Gets Better campaign, There were two great additions this week. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and President Obama made a video.
That's right.
That's exciting.
That's right.
Well, it is exciting. But, you know, it was interesting because Obama wasn't specific about what his bullying was, but it was very obvious. I mean, he came from a mixed-race family, and he was probably okay when he was in Hawaii because mixed race is the majority.
In Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. But especially after he moved to the mainland, I'm sure he was picked on for that. And he wasn't real specific about it because it was something else, but it's not really. Bullying is bullying. You know, I know we have to be specific in policies. And one of the laws that, or proposed laws that Mark Strama is writing, he's a state rep from the Austin area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His bill is very specific to teachers, to bus drivers, to other staff, to if you see this, you must do this.
Right.
If you see that, you must do this.
Right.
And it has to be that way.
Certainly. I think when we were talking about it as well, it really is something that needs to be defensible. Mm-hmm. And the way the bullying policies were so general that it would make it difficult to be defensible.
Although North Dallas High School has very comprehensive policies. Mm-hmm. They have a zero tolerance policy for bullying. Their security guards absolutely give fines, tickets to kids who call other kids any name at all. It is just not accepted. And I was talking to one of the kids at that school, and I said to her, and she's a transgender kid, she said, "No, I've never seen much bullying. I've never been bullied." And she's a transgender kid. She said, "No." And I said, "You've never seen any name calling there?" And she said, "Well, I've seen it." You know, and she said, "Just this week I saw the guards give this one kid a ticket or these two kids a ticket for calling this other kid, you know, the F word." And I said, "Okay, so you do see it a little bit." She said, "You know, those are the new kids and they don't know how we do it here, but we just don't put up with that here."
Wow.
Which is a wonderful attitude. It's,
absolutely.
You know, you might come into the school and have those bad attitudes. But she said an awful lot of the gay kids through DISD purposely travel across the city to go to North Dallas High School because it's the one place they feel safe.
That's amazing.
And which is nice that we have that.
Very nice. However,
you should be able to go to whichever school you want to go to.
That is correct.
That should be the norm in all the high schools.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, and it shouldn't be that...
That's
a good school, but you know, in our school we allow bullying.
Correct.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, Laron. I don't know if you want to speak out of school, so to speak.
Okay.
But your partner's a teacher.
Yeah.
Does he report to you any serious bullying events?
Not serious, but definitely. He's quick to pounce on it if in fact when he sees it. And, you know, some of, particularly with the name calling, kids have just grown to, okay, that's just normal, you know, to get called this or to call someone that. And Danny has written a couple of students up before who's even used the N-word. And that's really just, standard with certain groups. And it's like, well, I don't mean anything about it. Well, you can talk like that outside of the classroom, but you're not going to talk like that in my classroom. Mm-hmm. So we need more teachers like you, Danny.
Yes,
well, absolutely.
And this one transgender student had Danny as a teacher in middle school.
Yeah.
And that school apparently is the middle school that has the reputation for we don't accept it here.
Yes.
So there
That's
is
amazing.
A middle school. And how many
That's
schools
wonderful.
In Dallas? Yeah. Hundred and what a... What
Several.
Schools and yeah, and that's the middle school, and this is the high. It shouldn't be that way. It should be all schools. Those should be the models.
Absolutely.
Those certainly should be the models.
I agree.
While you're here, we're going to talk about all kinds of other stuff, all kinds of city stuff.
Great.
Okay, so we have this mayor, and how is he ruining the city? No. let's start with pensions, because that actually is a big issue right now. We have nonpartisan elections here in Dallas. However, we have a mayor who tends to be on one side, and we have many city council people who tend to be on the other side politically. What's the issue with pensions?
The issue with pensions, I don't know if any of you got to see the article that came out yesterday in the morning news. There had been rumblings about this for a couple of weeks, and I think nationally some of the leaders nationally are really taking a hard look at pensions for municipal workers. And the idea is that, or what was said in the article, actually the mayor did not speak to any of the council people regarding where he was on pensions, and I guess we'll find out on Tuesday, or November 17th is what the article said. But the idea with the people who are going after the pensions or who are speaking up about pensions is that to be conservative, you must not pay so much money into pensions for municipal workers. The article said that Dallas pays $107 million towards the police and fire pensions yearly and $53 million towards the municipal workers' pensions yearly. And I think on the side of the people who are going after the pensions, they're saying that, you know, the city shouldn't pay so much and we may not see any returns until, you know, 15, 20 years later down the road, but now is the time to rein it in and, yeah. and so forth. And I think those of us on the other side of the coin feel that the municipalities do not take Social Security out of the municipal workers' paychecks. So all they have when they retire is their pension. And so my feeling personally is that, you know, we've got to be good stewards to our employees and to make sure that we have top rate and high quality employees. We have to make sure that the pension is a benefit for them and a benefit that makes sense. And a benefit that counts.
When you said that Social Security taxes are not taken out, that's the second time that I had heard that. Someone I work with told me that, and I thought, no, that can't be. I don't think a lot of people are aware of that.
Right.
Is that by choice, or is that a Dallas thing, or is that just common across all municipalities?
It's all municipalities and federal.
Okay.
Federal employees
so it's across
don't pay
the country.
Federal employees don't pay Social Security taxes either.
Okay.
And that's, you know, when you pay Social Security taxes as a business owner, you've got to pay the employees part, and then you've got to pay the business part. So what it does is it gives the cities and the municipalities and the federal agencies the ability not to have to pay that extra.
But they are paying that portion.
But we pay the portion into a specific pension that goes to those municipal workers. Now, that includes police, fire, and all the city employees.
Well, I think it's so interesting that this is now an issue. Because I don't think the place to go for savings in your budget is someone's pension when that's really all they get.
Absolutely.
And
right.
when you're trying to be competitive in the marketplace, and, you know, given that, you know, job market's not great right now, but overall, I think, you know, considering all years and decades,
right.
You have to be competitive with the private sector because these people could leave and go make a lot more money.
They could leave and make a lot more money, and actually Dallas is one of the, in our firefighters, we pay less than most cities surrounding us. So, you know, the only thing we have to entice them is through the benefits of the pension plan.
Hmm.
Now, the pension plan for the firefighters and for the City of Dallas workers is, you know, they're both sizable. They're in the billions.
I mean, a lot of few people, once they put their time in, I don't know when they're fully vested,
right.
20, 25 years or whatever that,
yeah,
number
sure
is.
That number is. It's different.
But they take home almost what they took when they were working, and that's why it is such a big perk.
It's a big perk, and that's something that, again, we've got to continue to entice quality people, entice great people for the fire department, for the police department, with those types of benefits. There's not a thing wrong with them. No one had an issue with them in terms of city council people that I know of. And so we just want to be sure that, you know, we let the people know that we are definitely there to protect that benefit. It is a huge benefit, and we want to keep it that way. We want to continue to encourage, you know, quality people to be part of the City of Dallas.
Okay, so funny story, El Paso. I love this story. In El Paso, they passed partnership benefits. I guess it was about a year ago, and it passed as a result of a real bad discrimination against a gay couple in the city. It brought the issue to light, and they passed the DP benefits.
I thought it was on the ballot this fall.
It's going to be on the ballot this fall. Yeah. Okay. It's on the ballot this fall to repeal it. Mm-hmm. Because this group called El Paso for Jesus got it on the ballot. But here's the problem. In the new law that is up for consideration by voters, it says who can get insurance benefits from the city. And it's very specific. And oops, it leaves out a whole bunch of people like police department families and firefighter families. And so Jesus for El Paso, or El Paso for Jesus, I forgot what it's called. They came out, they said, well, that wasn't our intention. And the city attorney said, it doesn't matter what your intention was, this is what's on the ballot, and I have to uphold what's on the ballot. Oh, retirees will lose all their benefits also, their medical benefits.
Wow.
So, yeah. And being city employees, they're not on Social Security, Medicare, all that. So anyway, what's really funny about this is that, first of all, I think it's something like 15 couples, maybe it was 19 couples, have applied for partnership benefits. It's not that many. At least half of those are straight. So what Jesus for El Paso has offered is, if you're straight, we'll pay for your wedding. If you're gay, we will turn you straight. You can come to us, and we will turn you straight.
That's a deal if I ever heard one.
I know. I would love to go take them up on this. The best part of this, though, is that paying for DP benefits has cost the city of El Paso $27,000. The election is costing the city of El Paso $131,000.
Right. So. Yeah. That's definitely the other side of the coin.
I love that story.
Yeah.
I love that story. But, yeah, you have police and fire and all these others who are saying, don't vote for this because we're going to lose our benefits.
Right.
Just because they were so mean-spirited about 19 people.
You know, Travis County has an interesting perk for their employees. They have every employee, whether they're married or not, can put one adult on their insurance. And that adult can be anybody. It can be a partner. It can be a spouse. It could be a parent. Mm-hmm. It could be a sibling. It could be a neighbor. But everybody gets, so it's even. So that it's not like, well, people who have families or who are married get more benefits and more compensation, so to speak.
Than, I like that.
And so, you know, Prudential Insurance has begun doing that with their employees and stuff. So it's just one adult. And then, of course, if you have dependents, you can put your dependents on. But everybody gets one adult.
Wow. Mm.
So that's quite a perk, too. And it's not something you find, really, in the private sector.
No,
not at all. It takes care of that argument that, you know, I pay the same as a person with, you know, five kids or whatever.
Right. But cities have to do something because the private sector is incredibly competitive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got to stay competitive. We've got to continue to attract quality people. We've got to take care of our police and fire. You know, those are the people that take care of us. So, you know, we've got to be very, very careful in what we do.
Sure. Well, we are talking to City Councilwoman Delia Hasso. We're going to be back with more Lambda Weekly, and Delia will be with us for the rest of the show. We'll be back with more right after this.
The KNON Morning Line is your chance to be informed of national issues and take part in local events. Listen and call in Monday through Thursday starting at 7 a.m. You can find an open forum for your voice to be heard on the Voice of the People. KNON 89.3 FM.
89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth. The Voice of the People.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink and Lauren Landis, and we're talking to City Councilperson Delia Hasso. Everybody is up for re-election this year.
Everybody is up for re-election in May of 2011.
But the campaigns haven't started.
No, most of us have sort of decided to wait till after the November elections. Those are definitely crucial. And I'm going to go vote as soon as I leave here. So please know that the polls are open today on Sunday from 1 to 6, and please go vote.
And so, do you want to announce your candidacy on our show?
Yes. I will okay, most definitely announce my candidacy for re-election on KNON today.
You heard it here first.
I am running for re-election.
But we are not allowed to do any campaigning,
right.
Any electioneering, nothing like that other than go vote. So we're just talking really city issues. Did you have something?
I just wanted, since we are talking about city issues, everyone knows, well, besides the Texas Rangers going to the World Series, which is wonderful, the big money draw supposedly is happening in January. The Super Bowl is coming to North Texas for the first time. I just wanted to talk about how, if at all, has the city of Dallas prepared for that?
Oh, great question. We have been in preparation for the Super Bowl since January of last year, or the minute that we found out. We've certainly ramped up all of our guidelines for the police, the fire. You know, we had a great test, sort of a test event last year during the NBA All-Star Games.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took the things that we learned from that, and we're going to be applying it for Super Bowl. But, our Dallas Convention and Visitors Bureau has ramped up. We've got, lots and lots and lots of guidelines already in effect. As I said, the last year when we did the NBA All-Star Game really gave us some good templates to go by and things to do better. So we are definitely in preparation mode almost to the end now.
Is the city of Dallas working, in conjunction with the city of Arlington, or are you just kind of doing your own separate thing?
Yes. No. The mayors have all been working together for a year now, Arlington, Irving, Dallas, really so that we're all coordinating and making sure that everybody that comes to the Super Bowl has a great experience. So that's, and then of course we want to showcase Dallas, and our Visitors Bureau is doing a lot for that as well. So we are definitely, we're at the end of the planning stage now as we get ready to welcome all of our new visitors.
You know, the NBA All-Star Game and the Super Bowl, you can sort of plan for that, but the World Series has kind of happened, and you really can't ramp up for it, and, it's going to be bouncing between here and San Francisco now that the Giants are in the World Series as well, and it goes for however long it takes, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
we get two to four games.
Yeah, first of four wins.
Right, and so we're going to get a little kind of... a pop quiz.
In the next, week, we'll have a pop quiz. Absolutely. We've got, once again, we just go into the same mode we were in when we had the NBA All-Star Games. I mean, you guys have no idea. We, I think the story that Mary Soom told us was one Sunday during that All-Star Game, there was a text that went out, or maybe it was on a Twitter, that LeBron James was at the Galleria. And before we knew it, there were 50,000 people at the Galleria.
Wow.
So,
how did they find a parking place?
I know, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we were fortunate that someone did get the message early. So, a lot of police officers were deployed there. And, there were no incidences. So, it just happens that quickly on when you're in a mode like that where you've got a lot of visitors in town. We have definitely learned our lesson on how fast the communication is. And, it's just...
The World Series probably couldn't have come to Dallas for a better year because... The city's all ramped up for the Super Bowl already,
right. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, we just need to do some of those things.
Exactly,
now.
Exactly. Right. And the main thing is really that we do what's right for the visitors, and we also do what's right for the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to leave any stone unturned, and we've got some great plans.
Okay, I'm going to put my two cents in on what I don't want to see Dallas to do.
Okay, David, let me write this down.
Arlington has spent so much time not contributing to DART. I want them to pay through the nose to get any kind of DART service into their stadiums.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
We'll write that down.
And I'm really serious because there is so much tax money that has come into DART as a result of them rejecting the quarter-cent sales tax.
Good point.
And they put the stadiums there, and they just expect us, we're having the Super Bowl, so you can give us bus service. No. You don't get
I will
it.
Write
pay
that down,
it.
David, and make sure it, that we send them an invoice.
Yeah, pay for it, pay for it, pay for it, and help us complete the Orange Line.
Right.
Yeah. And I really believe that because with Arlington.
One last question about, since we're talking about football and stadiums. What's going to happen with the area where now the old Texas Stadium is?
That's a good question. If I was the Irving Council member, I would let you know.
Oh, okay.
But I have no idea.
You know, actually, I do know.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
There are wonderful plans. Once they tore down the eyesore that was there, that Jerry Jones took 20 years or whatever to destroy, there's plans to extend Las Colinas all the way to there. The Orange Line has a stop right there.
Oh, okay.
There are plans for office space, but Big Lake right in the middle, and apartments all over, and lots and lots and lots of park space. I mean, really gorgeous plans. Now,
wonderful.
With the downturn in the economy, is any of that going to happen? No.
Who knows?
I was about to say, Las Colinas probably has a lot of vacancies today.
Yeah.
Well, and I had
more vacancies.
Although, with several stops, there are supposed to be two stops on the Orange Line. One at the very beginning of the stadium and one at the far end, so they're like a mile apart.
Yeah.
Every DART station that's opened, there's been like $1 billion worth of development around it. So,
DART station's definitely there. The transit-oriented development definitely is a key factor anywhere those stations are placed. You know, the only thing I had heard about that spot was an outlet mall, but I think that kind of went down the tubes because the developer went out of business.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And we desperately need an east-west rail line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can get around on the north-south. All the north-south that we have, but you really can't do it.
You have to take a car.
Right, you have to take a car.
And I love our DART line. I mean, ours was, the red line was the first one that opened.
Yes, it was.
But now the DART trains have put in a center piece into each car, because the cars were two pieces that were attached, so they opened them up, put a center piece in, and one of the seats folds up, and there's a rack so that you can put your bicycle.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And I'm about a mile and a half from the red line, from Hampton Station, so I ride my bike to the red line, hang my bike, and ride to work, and I either go to Victory and go up the Katy Trail to my office, or to City Place, and it's less than a mile to my office. Yeah. So I love doing that. I do it maybe once a week.
Yeah, and I think one of the things on the red line, and I was at DART when they first were putting out the ideas about streetcars or the rail line. I'm sorry, not streetcars, rail line, and nobody wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the older lines like the red and the blue in areas that may or may not have been good transit-oriented development areas. So I'm hoping that DART will go back and look at those lines that were put in 20 years ago and make sure that there is development around those lines, especially the Hampton Station, the Westmoreland Station, all the stations that cut through North Oak Cliff really have had no development around it. So we need to go back and look at, how to do it better to take advantage of those lines as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I would really love to see, we had Mayor Anise Parker from the City of Houston here not all that long ago, and we were talking about high-speed rail. And I certainly want to put a bug in your ear for the future when it comes up, that lots of people in Dallas would really love high-speed rail, either along 35 or along 45 to Houston or to along the 35 corridor.
Absolutely. I am definitely for that. I had the opportunity before the TRE sort of cut back. My daughter and I went on a trip to San Antonio on the train. And they still had the waiters that, or the train people that would come and turn your bed down for you. We went overnight. So, and it was just such a great experience. You can go sit in on the lounge train and watch the towns go by. It's a great experience, and I think every kid should experience it. So I would definitely be in favor of a high-speed rail line from here to Austin, here to Houston, here to San Antonio.
Or maybe sleeper cars on DART so that I can take a nap on the way
sleeper
to work.
Sleeper cars on DART. Why not? Have someone pull your
take DART every single day and have been for the past 4 years, and I sleep.
Awesome, Laurent.
I sleep every single day.
Yes, wouldn't you sleep better?
Are you comfortable sleeping, though?
Wouldn't you sleep better?
No.
We need some.
It would be better.
Train
okay.
stewards. Get
another
some
vote
train
for a sleeper
stewards.
Car.
Yes.
Another vote for a sleeper car. Last year, there were budget cutbacks or proposed budget cutbacks, to, especially to libraries, aid services, parks. Employment has been, the jobs have been cut back right. in the city. What happened with all of those budget cuts? Because we kept hearing, you know, write your council person and tell her that, you know,
yes,
if you don't do this, these art librarians are going to come out shooting.
There was definitely like a campaign, and I'd have to say by the mayor, to have people call those of all of their council people to tell them not to vote for the rate increase. And what happened was there were eight of us who did vote for the rate increase, but it was based on the fact that the money was going to go for certain things that were going, they were already on the chopping block. The libraries were going to be cut back severely, where you only had maybe one person. Yes, they were going to stay open, but you might have one person in the whole building. So we restored all of the money back to the libraries so that nobody lost their job, and we have the libraries open all of the time now, with basically keeping the levels that we were at last year. The rate increase also put money back into parks and recreation. We were ready to cut 400 people, 800 positions, but 400 people, so that there were the recreation centers would not be open for after-school programs. They would not have people to run the after-school programs. There would be nobody there for senior programs and league programs. So the rate increase put the money back into. We put in $10 million back into the park and recreation
and
budget.
That just has so many ripple effects.
Absolutely.
Take something like that away.
With crime, absolutely. You talk about, you know,
idle kids.
Yeah, idle children and people not having, being able to use leagues and so forth. So that, we put $10 million back into that. Cultural affairs or cultural arts, that was one of the first things that was going to be cut, whereas that would mean that about 60 cultural arts programs would have no money to do their programs in fiscal year 10 to 11. So we put $2.5 million back into cultural arts, and every one of those groups got the money, the funding they needed to continue. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it was money to continue at a large extent. We didn't add anything, but we certainly kept them at the same level.
But it kept them open.
Kept them open, kept them able to do all of the programs that they do now, at, whether it's with children or adults. So we're very proud of that. And then lastly, but largely the biggest chunk was for streets. You know, if you're a citizen and you're if you're you know, a constituent or whoever driving the streets of Dallas, you know, that's one of the freebies. We got to make sure that freebie is,
well, talk about added cost.
Safe.
Every time you go through a pothole, every car that's
well, they get bigger,
injured.
And then yeah. your car gets, you know, gets.
This is not all that long ago. Maybe 6-8 weeks. Well, a couple months ago. Erin called on the way home. She was on the way home from some meeting down in the hood and was driving on Mockingbird and hit a pothole, and it blew her tire.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so I hopped in the car and went up to help her change it.
That's
but it was
huge.
Purely pothole. She was wow. before pre-pothole, perfect tire.
Yeah. Wow.
Post-pothole.
So how much was the tire?
She's got to replace the tire.
Yeah, direct cost. Yeah. Direct cost right there.
Yeah. No, we put in the biggest chunk back from we put in $40 million back into the city budgets for all of those things that I talked about, but the biggest chunk was for streets, and it was $20 million, or a little less than $20 million. But it was to do just that, to mm-hmm. make sure that all of us can drive on streets that are safe and that we don't have to pay an upcharge to fix our cars or fix our tires. So we are watching that $40 million very closely to make sure that we are doing what we said.
What was the average increase per person, per household?
What was the average household? If you owned a home that was $130,000, you would pay an extra $61 per year.
How much was the tire?
For that.
Oh, more than $61.
Okay.
There you go. There you go.
Libraries. You know, we think of libraries, if you're thinking of them in the old-fashioned sense right. of going, taking out a book, that's very nice, and I do that.
Right.
But what the library is used for, especially, you know, you're saying you're cutting it during an economic downturn. If you've been to a library lately, there are rows of computers.
Right.
And they're all filled.
Yes.
They're filled, but
it's
filled with people looking for jobs.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That was one of our biggest arguments when we were, you know, trying to convince our other colleagues that, you know, if you go into a library this today at 10 o'clock in the morning, there's even a line at some libraries for people who want to come in not only to use the library, but to come in and use it as a job source. Mm-hmm. And we're very much aware of that, and I think that we need to, you know, embrace that and make it better. And so that was one of the big reasons that I'm very, very proud that we put that money back in.
Do you know the smartest thing that Dallas has done, and anybody from out of town that I pointed this out to says, oh, that's brilliant. Down the street from me, there's a new library in Oak Cliff that is attached to a school.
Absolutely.
And that's what Dallas is doing now. As
yes.
we're replacing the libraries, we're attaching them to schools.
Absolutely.
It's brilliant.
It is. It's
so obvious.
It's very obvious, yes.
But nobody else has done that.
You put it where a significant chunk of users are.
Oh, absolutely. And they just keep growing bigger and bigger.
You know, most schools are going to have kind of a mediocre school library. This way they have a whole library.
Right.
And it's not like you're going into the school. It's attached by a breezeway.
Exactly.
The library's there. The school's there. They're not in each other's way. But after school, it is packed with kids.
It is packed with kids. And where else do you want them to be?
Uh-huh.
In the library. So, no, that was definitely a very successful model, and we're trying to do more and more.
It's more than just success. It's brilliant.
Brilliant.
It was
a brilliant model.
It is. No, everybody that I pointed that out to, because it's right down the street from me, so, you know, it's like, oh, look at what, you know, and else. Everybody goes, oh. Yeah, we should be doing that, too. Yeah.
And little kids who go to the library a lot after school or during school grow up to be people who go to half-price books and stay there for hours.
Yes.
We know one.
Well, you know, and a place like half-price books is good for that, but they don't have the computers that people are using looking for jobs.
Right.
You can't cut libraries during an economic downturn. That's just one of those things that...
Yeah. Well, and speaking of half-price books, you know, my shout-out today is... We are open for business in Oak Cliff. Anybody who runs or manages Half Price Books, we were told, I think, a few years ago that we didn't have enough college-educated people for Half Price Books to come to North Oak Cliff.
Hmm.
And we can tell you that today that we do. So come on back.
Interesting. It's awesome. It's a great place to go hang. I have lots of Half Price Book stories. But, you know, you can spend $15 and come home with thousands of books.
That's right. Well, we welcome you in North Oak Cliff, Half Price Books.
Yeah, we do. I would love to have a good bookstore like that. We have a new little bookstore at the Kessler Theater.
Yes.
And that's a great little place.
Cliff Notes on Davis.
Yeah.
I donate my books there a lot. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Cliff Notes on Davis.
Yeah.
We need to take a break, or
go ahead.
Well, you know, we have friends who come in from out of town somewhat on a regular basis. We try and take them around the city, and he recently had one, and they're just surprised about the nightlife or lack thereof in downtown Dallas.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, really, all the action happens at, you know, some of the other spots like Mockingbird Station, the West Village. And
Bishop Davis, Bishop Arts.
Yeah. And so when I was growing up, the hot area was West End. And I work in downtown Dallas, and you go down there, it's like a ghost town.
It is.
And so I just wonder, are there any plans to try and rejuvenate that area, or what's going to happen? It's a great area, and it's just sitting there.
Yes, there are plans to rejuvenate it. I think they're looking for developers right now.
Okay.
If you go down Main Street at night, there's a lot of action there.
Okay.
But, you know, going down there, there's a you know, we were just talked about all this transportation, and and you can just navigate downtown easily on rail, on bus.
You can.
On a pedestrian, great places to walk, you know, so it's... It's a great place to hang. But I know it's been really difficult over the years.
I can give you one reason, because I tried to rent space there, and I was told flat out by one of the developers of the high-rise building that they didn't want those kind of people coming to that area.
Huh.
Hmm.
Well,
maybe that's changed.
I think it's changed. Yeah, let's hope it's changed. But I do think, talking back again about Main Street and... There's been a lot of effort to make that area more robust. I do know that there are people looking at West End, but I would say go down Main Street any time at night, and it's something that you don't expect to see over by Neiman's, and in those places. There are several restaurants and bars and so forth. So, but I also encourage you to come to Bishop Arts District. We have 5 new restaurants opening there, and we are...
And it keeps growing.
Open arms. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go down.
We need to take a break. We're talking to Councilperson Delia Hasso. She'll be back with us right after the break. This is Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON-FM.
KNON presents Blues and Barbecue in downtown Dallas at Pearl on Sunday, October 24th with the Wanda King Blues Band. Wanda King is Dallas blues royalty. She'll be appearing with her band featuring Joey Love. Wanda King is filming the show, so come on and be part of the video. Joining us will be very special guests, the Barton Street Blues Band, playing classic blues and great original songs. It's an early show with doors opening at 5 p.m. and music going on until 9. Free barbecue will be served from the Alligator Cafe with Cajun brisket plates. Advance tickets are only $8 and available now at KNON.org, Forever Young Records, and at Pearl. It's a KNON Blues and Barbecue Benefit event at Pearl, 2038 Commerce in Dallas. The Wanda King Blues Band, the Barton Street Blues Band, and free barbecue Sunday, October 24th at Pearl.
Friday, November 5th, it's a night with the greatest Russian rock and roll extravaganza to come through Dallas since the last time they came through Dallas. Igor and Red Elvises, your favorite band. Don't miss this or you'll forever be trying to make up for lost fun. Igor and Red Elvises at the Sons of Herman Hall in Dallas, Friday, November 5th. The doors open at 8 p.m. for all ages. Opening the show will be Tweed EQ. It's Weird Warren from KNON's own Sonic Burrito Show, and I'll be your master of ceremonies. Save money by getting your tickets now at KNON.org or Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie. The Sons of Herman Hall, located at 3414 Elm Street at the corner of Elm and Exposition in Dallas. Igor and Red Elvises and Tweed EQ, Friday, November 5th at the Sons of Herman Hall. This is a KNON benefit event. Get your tickets now.
KNON.org is your destination on the World Wide Web for information about your favorite community radio station. Listen live to KNON from any computer, anywhere in the world, with our live internet broadcast stream. There's a program schedule so you can find out when your favorite shows are on, plus information on all of KNON's personalities and formats. Contact us, leave comments for your favorite DJs, read their blog posts, sign up to receive emails about KNON activities, learn about local music events, and be part of the thriving radio community. KNON.org has details on all of KNON's upcoming shows and benefits, and an easy and secure way to get your advance tickets online through PayPal. You can get any of our regular premiums online or just show your support for KNON any day of the year by making a donation on the web to your favorite show at KNON.org.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And it's time for
Those Darn Heterosexuals.
A heterosexual female lawyer in Prairie, or is that Peru?
Prairie, gotcha.
Okay. Said that she underwent gender reassignment surgery this summer to avoid a forced marriage her parents were arranging. Quote, I did not want a family life which is being forced on girls in our society, end quote. Mm. That's a little...
That's odd.
Yeah, that's a...
That's very odd.
Extreme.
I have one. A 1922 British Columbia law requires adult children to support dependent parents. Not a bad idea. In our parenting story of the week, Shirley Anderson, 71, is suing her son Ken, 46, in Vancouver, British Columbia, for parental support, even though she and his father had abandoned him when he was 15, having one day just picked up and moved.
Oh, my. Pennsylvania lesbian state representative Babette Josephs and her primary opponent, Greg Kravitz, as straight. According to Josephs, the heterosexual Kravitz was posing as gay in Josephs' largely gay-friendly district.
And Corey Liu was a straight porn star, bodybuilder, professional embalmer, and white supremacist, and a mother of two. The heterosexual ended her adult film career because, quote, if we Caucasians consider ourselves a master race, then we have to act like a master race, not like degenerates. And that's this week's
Darn Heterosexuals.
And we are talking to City Council Person Delia Hasso. She represents Oak Cliff, but
District
not,
1.
District 1, but not my neighborhood because her district ends on my corner. So.
Right. Thank you, David.
Fix that in redistricting.
We will fix that. I'll make a note of that.
Where's David? Let's clue him in.
Yeah, let's make sure
you
we
know,
draw him in.
When Tom DeLay redistricted, and I was living in East Dallas for about a year, the line went right down between Eddie Bernice and Pete Sessions, went right down Belmont, and when they were redrawing it, though, they didn't want me in Pete Sessions' district, so it went around my house.
You were David Mandering going on.
David Mandering.
Yep. So feel free. I'll jot that down, David, next time,
please. For sure.
We're just talking about all kinds of different things about the city, what's going on. We have an election next. What's going on now, but when's election day? November 2nd.
Election day currently, and then I will start campaigning. We will start campaigning in right after that for elections in May.
Those are the city municipal elections.
And something's different this year. You know, every time we have elections, every 2 years in May for city council, everybody's up. The council term is only 2 years, and you can do four of those in a row.
Right.
Or you can do like Steve Salazar and do one and leave and then come back and you kind of start all over, right?
But I think what's important is...
The mayor's race is up this year. So we'll be having, in addition to all city. Of the city, every city council seat is up. Right. The mayor is also up for re-election. So.
That's right.
Well, we'll see what happens with
that. We'll see what happens, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. This election, though, we have a couple of propositions on the ballot. In Dallas County, it's an entire Dallas County issue, and that's the wet-dry elections. And it's to turn all of Dallas wet. And I had been talking to somebody from TABC about whether or not this election was going to be legal.
Okay.
Because in order to overturn a previous wet-dry election, if it was overturned by a JP district, a Justice of the Peace district, it can only be... then overturned again by another JP election, and this one's countywide. But
then that would necessarily include the JP district.
Right.
No, it has to be more than that. In, I think, Montgomery County, they had one where the JP districts have changed, and so the new election was in the old JP district, even though it changed 50 years ago. But... They had to, the people who live in the area have to re-vote. Anyway, but the difference is Oak Cliff went dry in 1950, I think it was 7. There was another one to try to overturn that in the JP in 1959, didn't work. But the one that works, or that we're overturning, was a county election, is what we think happened. And the records from there, from TABC, happen to not be that great.
Right.
Because the TABC person was, she and I were calling each other, and it was, what did you find? Ooh, what did you find? And we were just back and forth on that. So
okay.
This one should work.
This is educational for me. I didn't realize this. So the proposition that's on the ballot is to make the entire county wet?
Yes.
For
beer and wine.
City.
Wow.
For beer and wine.
Because as you know, I mean, people laugh when they visit in Dallas. Drive along down the street, and suddenly there's a dozen liquor stores on the left and a dozen liquor stores on the right, and then they stop.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's like it's all over. And in fact, in Irving for years, they've called that the line.
Yes.
Go out to the line as you're heading out to Texas Stadium, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a big clump.
Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
The line. It's the closest you can get to that dry district.
And in my city, we just went wet last year.
Wow.
City of Garland.
How did that change?
I don't have to drive as far anymore.
Okay,
so I like it.
Good reason.
And
like
restaurants.
And your restaurants don't ask you for your driver's license.
Yes. Well, they asked for another card. I forgot what it's called.
Unicard.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, Bishop Arts, that we were just talking about, that's an area that's dry. I was talking to one of the restaurant owners down there, the owner of Veracruz, and what he said they have to do is, in order to be, it's a membership club, and he has to have a board, so all of his neighbors are the board. And in order to compensate them, they can eat at his restaurant free. So it's a cost to the business person that way.
It is a 25% upcharge to
and
business.
The board has to meet to keep... they're only allowed a certain number of members, like 200 or 300 members.
Right.
So the board has to vote people out, vote people in. They have to meet like three times a week.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
Yeah, those are part of the problems with the portion of the wet-dry issue, because I think there's two props. One is to get rid of the private club, and one is to allow beer and wine sales
in grocery stores.
So it'll definitely and I was definitely for this from the beginning, because I know that our Bishop Arts District restaurants pay almost a 25% upcharge, not only having to keep that up with the private club status, but they have to go pick up their beer and wine outside of the district, because they are not allowed in the district to deliver.
Those beer trucks don't deliver to them.
They cannot deliver to a dry area.
Yeah. They're that picky.
Yeah.
Well,
they can't deliver to a dry area.
Kathy Jack, who owns Jack's
Backyard.
It's either her or one of her friends.
They have to go.
They're constantly driving back and forth and back and forth to pick up wine.
They have to pick it up themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also service it themselves.
I did not know
there's
that.
There's no service up. There's nothing. So for me, and I said this from the very beginning, I was always very concerned about that for the Bishop Arts District and for anybody. Davis now has become a restaurant row. I think that we should have a level playing field with other parts of the area that are wet. I think everyone's concern has always been, we don't want liquor stores. Well, the proposition is not for liquor stores. It's for beer and wine sales, and it's for the taking away of the private club status. So I'm very much for it.
Isn't this kind of vestigial of the old Texas blue laws?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You remember when I was growing up,
you couldn't sell anything on Sunday.
Yeah, you'd have the whole aisles in the grocery store and like cordoned off.
But Dallas County did not go half dry until 1956 or 7. I mean, after Prohibition, we had alcohol sales here.
Yeah.
And then Dallas just went kind of nuts.
It was that Donna Reed show mentality.
We only have a few minutes left. The flood management plan that's going on in the Trinity River.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
Right. I serve on the Trinity River Committee, and one of the presentations that was brought up to us a couple of weeks ago was the Corps of Engineers came and said that the dirt around the levees was not critical enough in mass to support any new levees being built or constructed, so that they would have to take another 3 to 4 months to test the soil to see if that red clay soil was going to be able to hold up the new construction of the levees. And I think, as someone pointed out, red clay, when it gets wet and then it gets really dry, like we have 100 degree weather here in Dallas, it'll never stand up to what the Corps of Engineers is asking us to do. So there's a couple of trains of thought here. The one train of thought is that the Corps of Engineers has put us through every type of test you can think of to help us, to let us continue. And what they've done is they've certainly delayed as much as they can, as quickly as they could. So I think we're in a position now to say to the Corps of Engineers, we really understand what you're trying to do, but we think we have some good data that says that we can continue. So we'll continue with that in the next couple of months. What happens is that by December of this year, if we don't have a definite read on the soil, then the FEMA can come back and say, this whole area around the Trinity, which includes the Stemmons Corridor, most of West Dallas, Cadillac Heights, all of that will have to be remapped, and they will say then that they are part of the floodplain, which means that everybody will have to get new insurance, flood insurance, that will probably be very expensive, and that to us is just unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to avoid remapping, and that's where we are right now, and within that, we will, see what we can do with the Corps of Engineers. So it's a tough deal for the people that live around the Trinity. Again, the Stemmons Corridor is going to be affected. That's the Anatole Hotel. It's all these folks. And then we've got Super Bowl coming up in January. So there's a lot of moving parts to this, and we need to be sure that we do the right thing for not just the city, but for, our businesses. And continue to try to have some logical discussions with the Corps of Engineers.
And I told you before the show I was going to mention this. Woodall Rogers. I take that to go home, and it goes from four lanes to one lane.
Yeah. Oh, it's closed this weekend.
This weekend is closed altogether.
Absolutely closed. I'll tell you that.
I consider you my city council person, I need to get to Oak Cliff. Please tell them stop.
Please tell them stop. David, I am writing this note right now. Tell them to stop. Thank you very much.
When is the bridge going to be finished? When's the extension going to be done?
That date actually keeps moving. Mm. So it could be end of 12, beginning of 13.
So for two more years, we have massive traffic jams through downtown.
Well, next year's 11.
Uh-huh.
Let's see where we are at the end of 11. And then we'll see where we are at the end of 11.
Mm-hmm. But see, you could just, in a few years, stop and relax in the park on Woodrow Rogers.
There you go. That's the whole idea. They're going to make you stop at the
park. And when is the park going to be done? Do we know
that's
when the
also a moving
that's
number?
That's also a moving number.
It could be the end of 11.
And I know we'll the first beams the are going 11. Up this weekend. Yeah. They just arrived. So.
Yeah.
And did you sign one of the beams?
I did not. I didn't make it down there. I was at the Firefighters Memorial event.
Yeah. Huh. We are just about out of time.
Kind of a big thing, real quickly.
Go ahead.
In the ping pong on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, we now have Don't Ask, Don't Tell is back as of this week, and it's in force. But Secretary of Defense Gates has said that really only there's basically four or five people in the military who can actually authorize a discharge under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So and they're the chief of the Army, the chief of the Air Force, the chief of the Navy, chief of the Coast Guard, and the general counsel for the Defense Department. Those are really the only people that can say, we are discharging this person under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So they really, I mean, your sergeant couldn't do it, your immediate CEO probably could not have the authority to even begin an investigation. So that's kind of like where we are now.
I had just one quick little fun story. Carl Palladino is running as the Republican in New York for governor. Mm-hmm. Well, he alienated, of course, anybody who's liberal. He's alienated now everybody who is conservative because he flip-flopped on where he was on gay issues. Now his wife has come out in favor of gay marriage. Huh.
Wow, that story continues.
Yeah.
Listen, I just want to say thank you, David. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, LaRon, for having me today. I am a continual supporter of all issues GLBT. We have done some great things already with the city, and I will continue to support the GLBT community, and you can always count on me for support, and my door is always open to you.
Good, and thank you. Come back and see us again.
Thanks, Delia. Come back.
And we're going out with music from?
Eric Hyman.
And our guest next week is Candy Morton.
They say I'll drown. Takes a little more time. The slow and steady is greater than any promise from the other side. They say I'll drown in obscurity.